Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Joshua. We're in chapter 14. And in this chapter, there's 15 verses. A lot of times when there's a small amount of verses like this, the Lord will give me something else to talk about as well. And it's really good because always when the Lord gives me something for the church or for the whoever's going to be listening to these tapes, it's very important that I obey what he says for me to do, and that's it. And so, chapter 14 of Joshua has to do with what?
The west side of the Jordan, where the land was divided.
Okay, and let's all ask the Lord to bless, to anoint his words, and also to anoint me, to give me some essential commentary to give the people, whoever listens to this tape, the ability, the power, or some people call it grace, they call power grace, the power to stand one other day in the Lord. So, Father, we ask that you anoint this tape. Open, and that you anoint every hearer, that you open up their ears and anoint their spirit with your power, your spirit. Not by power or might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, is how we grow. And that love is made perfect. We become perfect by loving. And Lord, help our faith. He says, we have to love one another in order to be perfect. So perfection really is when people are walking in love one towards another. All throughout the Bible, it tells these things, this truth, about that perfection. None of us are perfect at all. Until we get to the point in Christianity that we're obeying the word of the Lord so much that we're loving one another, that we are concerned about the things that we say and the things that we do. Now, a lot of the commandments of the Lord are moral commandments. But then there's a great commandment that means, which is to love one another. And that means that we are to pay strict attention to that commandment, because if we break that commandment, that's the real great one, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and also to love our neighbor as ourself. If you would like to be talked down to, you wouldn't like that very well. On the other hand, if a person is doing the exact opposite of what the Lord says, well then, according to the Word of God, those people need to be rebuked, reproved, and then if they ask for forgiveness, then we're to forgive them. But when somebody is just praying, or just kind of moving back and forth when they're praying, and somebody says, this they do in the nut house. This is really gross. And that doesn't show any love at all for a baby Christian, or anyone for that matter. So if we haven't come to a state of perfection, if we are lying, if we're hiding, if we're sneaking, if we pay no respect, we give no obedience to your husbands, if you don't love your wives, all these things must be done. It's a commandment to love your wives as I have loved you. Well, the Lord loves us so much that he reproves, rebukes us, and he puts us through fire. Amen? But the Lord does those things. And he also tells us to love your wives, and for your wives to respect your husband's wishes, to obey your husband. And he also tells the people of the congregation to obey those that have the rule over you, until you come to the point in your spiritual life that you're obeying all those commandments. You are not walking in the spirit of perfection, because you're not walking in love. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength means that you do everything that he says. Whatsoever he tells you to do, do quickly and efficiently. And learn to back up the leaders, someone that's on the front lines. If that's a resentful thing to you, well, then you're far from perfection. There's no possible way that if you don't get rid of that satanic attitude or that satanic spirit that's in you, there's no possible way that you can enter into the kingdom of heaven, because only perfection shall enter into the kingdom of God. Perfection. Walk perfectly. The Lord keeps commanding that, and yet we know no one is perfect. So the only way that people are able to discern that a person is perfect is if they love. And that, in the eyes of the Lord, is perfection. There's nothing short of that. There's no other way to break that down, of how can we be perfect when none of us are. The Lord so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should, and in him, should not perish, but that they should have eternal life. Now, everyone has eternal life. Father, we know that. We know that some people are going to spend eternity in heaven, and some people are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire and in hell. And so, therefore, we all know we're going to be eternal. But we really want to be perfect in love, because your word says that we are made perfect in love, in obedience to your word, into everything. We're to forgive one another if we offend each other. And if you've offended everyone in the congregation, you really, according to Scripture, we have to go to those people and ask for forgiveness. Otherwise, there's no perfection. That's because that's the commandment of the Lord too, not to apologize, but to go to them. If you're going to apologize, that's fine, but then ask for forgiveness. Humble yourself, because only the humble and that walk in love shall enter the kingdom of heaven. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love is the keeping of his commandments, and our spirits are made perfect in love. And there's dozens of scriptures that say the same thing. Praise the Lord. Okay, and here are some scriptures that will reveal to you the very thing that I've been saying. We all have made mistakes, and we're all not exactly, we're not what the world calls perfect at all. But the Lord has revealed in his word, it's hidden in there, so that only the people that really seek him are able to find exactly what this means, you know, to be perfect. And because he keeps commanding us, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Why would God tell you to do something that you're not able to do? But when God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in you, then you have the power to, and the love of God, the perfect love of God in you, to display perfect love to the brother, your brothers and sisters, to your family, to the world. And so we'll read some of those scriptures right now. So let's begin with, 1 John, right? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
4, verse 16 through 21. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him.
Okay. If you dwell with God in you, and you in God, then you have the power to love. And, of course, the Lord, vengeance belongs to the Lord, not us. And so, therefore, we are not allowed to give vengeance. Only the leaders, if there's a satanic person, I mean, that somebody that's really satanic and they're throwing souls in the church, well, then the authority of God has the right to come in there and upbraid them very strong. But that is love in itself as well. Okay, then what?
Herein is our love made perfect.
See, our love is made perfect. We are made perfect by love. And the love of God, which is able to make us perfect, is in us because God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is in us. Okay, then what?
That we may have boldness in the day of judgment.
Right. Now, if you don't have boldness, it's because of the fact that you are not perfect. This isn't saying that you can't be perfect. Maybe you didn't realize the way to perfection is love. But that's what the Bible plainly states that it is. Amen?
Amen.
Can you read that again, that verse?
Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment.
So you think that if you love and you have perfect love, the love of Christ, who loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, God did, and that Jesus had so much love for our souls that he was obedient and loved us right to the death on the cross and the humiliation and all these things. This is the love of God and the love of Christ that passes knowledge. And so knowledge comes from learning the Word of God, what this means. And so if you want to, you have to just die and let the love of God dwell in you. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, you're not going to correct anything. All you're going to do is stir up strife in the church if you don't have love, and you're going to not have boldness to approach the throne, let alone have boldness to stand before God on the day of judgment if you haven't let the Lord emit or dispense his love. He's dwelling in your heart, your soul. And if you're not allowing him to dispense his love through you, if you're loving the Lord, you're not shrugging your duty during the day at all and causing somebody else to do your work for you. And you're not trying to think up different ways that you can justify yourself by beating out of work. Another thing that you're not going to do is you're not going to usurp authority. Like that, I was reading 2 Samuel today, and there was a man that really thought David would be happy if he knew that he killed Saul. Well, of course, the man didn't kill Saul, because the Bible tells us in the chapter that Saul killed himself. He fell on his sword and killed himself. But because of the fact that he was not a Hebrew, but he wanted to come and tell David, he thought that would please David that he thrust Saul through because Saul was persecuting him so much. And the thing that happened to the man, because David always stated that he would never, he had several occasions where he could have killed Saul, but because of the fact that Saul was the anointed king of Israel, David wouldn't harm a hair on his head. And this is real love for God. And so this man said, I thrust him through. I went down and killed him. Okay, well, that didn't please David at all. And he said, how is it that you had the courage, the boldness to kill the anointed of the Lord? And he called some of his young men. He said, kill him. And then in the next couple of chapters, there's two men that thought it would please David that he killed one of Saul's sons, an innocent man, and they came and brought his head to David. And David said, he told the story of, says, you know, there was a man out in the field that thought it would please me very much that he helped kill Saul. And actually, and he says, and I killed him. And he said, How is it that you think that it would please me that you killed one of Saul's sons who didn't do anything wrong at all? And so I told this young man, kill him. This is what happens to people that usurp authority. They don't ask David first, would it please you, David, if I killed Saul? Or would it please you, David, if I killed one of his sons or something like that? David would have immediately told him, no, by the love of God that's in me, if you did such a thing, I would have your head. I'd cut your head off. Amen?
Amen.
Of course, God does that now. And that's what happens to people that think they're doing well. They just usurp authority, and they're always, they say, I thought that I was doing right. I thought. And then when they killed this leader of the the commander of Saul's army, one of the men of David thought it would please David if he killed him. And here that man was the one that was calling all Israel to start following David. And so that man was put to shame, and his whole family forever is cursed in a mighty way. But anyway, so it's not love to usurp authority. There's no way that if you usurp authority that you're going to have boldness to approach the throne of God, and much less to be able to approach, you know, on the day of your death, where you're going to, your spirit's going to be standing before God. You will not be bold. You'll be groveling on your hands and knees, begging for mercy from God. Okay, let's read some more.
Because as he is, so are we in this world.
Right, so as the Lord, if he's living in us and we're dead to our own ways, our own will, then we are like he is in this world. And he loved so much that he gave his only begotten son, and he loved so much that he gave his life. Because it wasn't that just Jesus that came into the world. It was God came to the world in a human body whose name was Jesus. So it was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are never separated. So God actually hung on the cross. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word came into the Word was God and came into the world and dwelt among us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so it was God that came into the world in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
If you try to cut it any other way, well then, you know, you don't believe the Bible. Therefore, you don't love God. The love of God is not in you. The love of God means that you really love God to the point to where you do what he says. You love one another. You not only preach the word or teach it or read the Bible and pray, but you live the gospel. You live the gospel. You live as Christ lived. You're like him in the world. Read that last verse.
Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
Yes. So, do you think that you can be, that you're like him, as if you're breaking commandments of the Lord every day, you're usurping authority? You're just like the people that David cut their heads off. He killed them. Wouldn't you think so? Because they thought they were pleasing him, and they didn't. They made him extremely angry. And do you think that the Lord, that you're in perfect love if you're a liar? If you're lusting all the time? If you're usurping authority, or if you're sneaking around doing things? Hiding, slipping and sliding. No, you don't have the love. The love of God is not in you at all. Love is the keeping of God's commandments, and you're not perfect. And the only way that you can have boldness is if you're perfect. And love, perfection is caused. You become perfect by loving. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That means live a godly life in front of them, before God and yourself. Then God knows you love him, and then God dwells in you. He's there. And you have then the power within you, which is God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to love. Otherwise, you have no capacity in you to be able to love. Okay, and then what?
There is no fear in love. But
there's no fear. You could, I mean, if I know that I'm loving as the Lord loved, there's no fear for me to stand before Him. But if you're not, you don't kid me at all. I know you're filled of fear. And you're filled full of fear, and there's nothing that's going to take that away from you other than what I'm telling you right now from the Word of God. Okay? But if you are keeping all the commandments, if you're loving, I mean, I'm not saying to love the devil, because the Lord tells us to hate Satan. Amen?
Amen.
But you leave the discernment of that type of situation up to the Spirit of God, and the Lord's Spirit has put authorities here on earth, and you're not to be going around into the congregation demeaning people. You're to report them as Buster does, and then I'll take care of it. All right? Isn't that the way that love works?
Yes.
Because the Lord tells you not to usurp authority, and if you do, then you're disobeying His commandments, and you're no less than a witch. It's the same as witchcraft. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
But perfect love casteth out fear.
Yes. If you really are perfect, because you have the same love in you as God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, then you're not afraid to face God. You're not afraid to approach the throne. Amen?
Amen.
You're not afraid to face Him at judgment, are you?
No.
No, and you're not afraid to ask Him for stuff. For the things that you have need, or for the things that you want. Because you're perfect. Even though you make all kinds of other mistakes, but still you're, in the eyes of God, you're perfect because you have His perfect love in you. You're keeping all of His commandments. You don't break them. I see people that say they're Christians that break commandments 100 times a day. They're liars. They're deceptive. They try to shave the truth. Christ was never that way. I would never follow a God like that. And we have to be exactly like Him. Then what?
But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
See? You're made perfect in love. Amen?
Amen.
And what is love? Love is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It means that you keep all of His commandments. And that means to forgive one another. Amen?
Amen.
And to not bring false accusations against one another. Amen?
Amen.
Hello? Oh, Lord, help our faith. Lord, help our faith. How are we going to stop bringing false accusations against people? Help our faith dwell in us more richly. We're perfected by love. Read that again.
But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
You're made perfect in love. Amen?
Amen.
Right there tells you how to be perfect. Amen?
Amen.
Because you might have a runny nose. That's not perfect. Amen? It's good to know this, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's a possibility to be perfect, a great possibility. You're made perfect in love. Okay, then what?
We love Him because He first loved us.
Yes, we do what He says because He first did what the Lord, what He kept His own rules. Amen?
Amen.
That's why we do it. Because if He hadn't kept those rules, then we wouldn't even have the possibility of being saved. There would be no forgiveness. There'd be no eternity in heaven for us. We all know that we're eternal. We're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell, in the lake of fire. So he did it. He went through with it. He was perfect in love. He was made perfect in love by keeping the commandments. Amen?
Amen.
And that's, he says, that's how we are made perfect. Amen?
Amen.
So don't, I mean, if you're keeping all the commandments of the Lord, and somebody tells you, who do you think you're perfect? I just saw you blow your nose. Well, that isn't what perfection is. I have the Lord living in me, and the Lord says if I do the same things that he did while he was here on earth, then that's love. And I'm perfect. I've been made perfect because I do what he did. Because he loved first, and therefore that's why we love him. That's why we keep his commandments. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to keep our minds so concentrated on him so that we will not dare move away from that, from loving, from that perfect state of love that we're in. Do you understand? Okay, now I see some people in this room that I know they're not too bright, but they said they understand. So I know that you understand too, you people that are listening to this tape. Right? You understand? Right. Okay. So that means, oh, there's something to do. Salvation, a lot of people say it's just free, you know. Yes, it is free. We first get saved, and it's free, because God first loved us. Now he wants us, and the whole Bible tells us, to show our love towards him. And first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, not part of it. Soul, mind, and strength, and also to take up a cross and start doing the things. What good is it for us to say we love the Lord and we everything and not do what he tells us to do? That's why the world is in such horrible shape, is because the false prophets, Satan's false prophets that stand in pulpits preaching say that, you know, we can still stand and God is... How could we still sin and say that we love the Lord? Because we break the first commandments if we did that. Because love is keeping God's commandments. Amen?
Amen.
And we can only become perfect enough to live in heaven through love. In other words, doing what the Lord says. That doesn't mean kissy, huggy, squeezy, you know, kissy type thing at all. That's not love. That's lust. That's the worldly thing. But to have the deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow the Lord, and to just do it with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to prefer others before ourselves, to love others as we love ourselves, to love other people's children, and prefer them before our own children. That's really something else. You know, God preferred us more than his own child. He sent him here to die for us. That must mean that he loves us more than him. You know, some people could think that, you know, but it isn't so. God loves his son. Amen?
Amen.
Because his son would keep the commandments even unto the death. And that's why he loves us. If you don't do that, then there's no love of God in you, and God doesn't love you either. So God is love to those that love him and keep his commandments. All right, and so keep going.
If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also.
Right. If you do that, well, then you're perfect. Amen?
Amen.
If you just bring false accusations and railing accusations and hatred and all these different things and falsely accuse people and bring up things like 5-10 years from the past against them when they're doing, you know, when they're trying to show the love of God, that isn't right. Okay, some more scripture.
Okay. 1 John 4:12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us.
Okay, his love is perfected in us, if he dwells in us. But if you don't love your brother or sister, he's not dwelling in us, so that you can't be perfect. Amen?
Amen.
God is love, and if he's living in you, fine. If he's not, well, then he has wrath against you. Okay? So God doesn't love the disobedient. He loves those that are obedient. Amen?
Amen.
And he makes us perfect by his power, his spirit living in us, and that's the only way we're made perfect. We are made perfect by love. Then what?
1 John 2:5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected.
See, the love of God perfected again. It always says that love is for the perfecting power. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah! Hey, that's a revelation, you know. Okay, and it's revealed to those that love the Lord. Then what?
Hereby know we that we are in him.
Yeah, is that we love one another. If you don't love enough to stop bringing false accusations against people, if you don't love people enough to do your duty in trying to quit shrugging it off, if you love the Lord enough to stay away from the things that you know are filthy and unclean, and all the commandments that the Lord says for you to keep, you just, well, I'll break one of them or something. There's no love of God in you there. Because people see you. God sees you. And there's just no love there. Becoming perfect, you must keep the commandments. Then what?
Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Well, how can we be perfect when all of us are so imperfect? We're only made perfect by the power of God, the loving power of God that dwells in us. And if we break his commandments, that power is gone. And we'll never be perfect. Okay? Is that understandable? Okay, then what?
John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
Mm-hmm. Then that they also know that you're worthy of going to heaven, that you're perfect. Because, you know, you could have a little dog, even a dog, you know, like a pit bull, you know, they're going to growl at you like that and everything. But a little cocker spaniel, you'd want him maybe to go to hell, you know. But a little cocker spaniel that comes up to you real loving and wags his little tail at you and stuff like that, even though he does his duty on the floor or something, you still can't help loving him, right? I can't stop loving you. Right? So he could make a mistake, yeah? Have a little accident or something like that. But still, he's just so full of love. He comes over and licks you on your hand and everything. Well, that isn't the kind of love the Lord is talking about, but love, doing the commandments of the Lord, breaks the bones of the evil, the wicked. It actually slays the devil in people. They can't believe that you're really of the Lord if you don't they just can't believe that you're of the Lord if you're just like them, the unsaved. We have to be different. God has to dwell in us. We have to be made perfect, and we're made perfect through love, by love. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
John 17:23. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me.
So if you, God loved him, the Father loved him, because that piece of human flesh that he was dwelling in, because that piece of human flesh just did everything that the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in him told him to do. And then read that again about the perfection part.
And I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect.
Because the perfect love of God is dwelling in you, so that you can be perfect, so that you are able to be perfect, so that you are able to get into the kingdom of heaven, because there's no imperfection that's going to enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't care how you slice it. Amen?
Amen.
That's it. You just have to die, friend. You just have to die. And I'm not your enemy, because I'm telling you the truth of this. I'm your best, outside of Jesus, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I'm your best friend. Amen?
Amen.
Because I'm telling you how it really is. All right, then what?
Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. So you know that perfection and being able to keep the perfect will of God, it has to be done through love. Amen?
Amen.
You have to be able to rightly divide the word, don't you? Okay, then what?
2 Corinthians 10:4-5.
I mean, these are just a few. I just, in the last 5 minutes, we just dug up a few of these scriptures. Yeah, the Bible's loaded with them. The whole Bible has said that. Then what?
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations.
Okay, now, as I've mentioned in services before, that our mind is the battleground. It's like a highway. We have in our mind a highway of just wanting to, we know we have to be perfect, so we're marching down this highway, and it's like on a desert. You see a desert on each side, but here's a clear highway. It's like that highway going to Las Vegas, or to Palm Springs or something, way out desert hot springs, or the Coachella Valley. And in our mind, we have this is a highway there, and we want to keep it clear. But every so often, the devil throws disturbing thoughts in our mind, discouragement. And so, if we have the faith and we want to stay on that highway, we have the, for sure, the portion of faith. So we say with the grain of mustard seeds to throw that discouragement off the highway so that we can go past it. Amen? And stay on the highway. And then there's depression that will come up. The devil will give you some reason to be depressed. And so you just say, depression, you start telling depression about God. Amen?
Amen.
Just like if you're sick, you tell your sickness about God. Don't tell God about your sickness. He already knows about it. Amen?
Amen.
So you just talk to that sickness and tell him about God, how great he is, and that you're keeping his commandments. And so the Lord loves me because I keep his commandments. Amen?
Amen.
And so therefore all the promises in the book belong to me. Amen?
Amen.
By my stripes you were healed. Okay, that's simple. So Lord, in sickness, I receive my healing from the Lord in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And depression, away with you. Be cast ye into the sea. Depression and discouragement. Oh yes, you've made all kinds of different mistakes and everything, and you've been rebuked for them, but that's no need to crawl into a hole and stay there. Just receive your reproof and rebuke and cast these things away and say this: I thank God for the instruction, so that I can stay on the road, not to Tipperary, but on the road to the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. It's straight and narrow. And the devil is doing everything he can. He'll throw some pornographic thought or some kind of lesbian or homosexual thought. You just have to clear the highway. Amen?
Amen.
Think of yourself, the Word of God, as a bulldozer. You say depression? God's Word, the sword, is stronger than you. Amen?
Amen.
Discouragement? God's Word, the sword, is stronger than you. You homosexual demon, the word of God, the sword of God, is stronger and more powerful than you. It's stronger and more powerful than any words. Amen?
Amen.
Now get thee hence in the name of Jesus. Sickness, get thee hence. The word of God is stronger than sickness. Amen? And more
Amen.
Powerful. Right?
Amen.
Okay, this is what it means to pull down these strongholds of these discouraging words and all these things. Keep continue reading.
Casting down imagination.
You cast it down. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God.
Any high thing that gets in your highway there to go to heaven, you cast it down and throw it off into the gutter. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
and bringing into captivity every
thought. You bring every thought into your, because the Word of God, okay, you say, the Word of God, I'm going to stay perfect. You know, it's not like these people in the world, these women that say, I'm a virgin, I'm going to stay a virgin. They're easily sometimes persuaded not to do that, but you must be fully persuaded to be perfect, because this is the only way we're going to get into the kingdom of heaven. You just say, well, I wonder if I can do it every day. Right there, throw that away. I mean, you know, I wonder if I can do it every day. Get rid of that. Of course you can, with the power of God in you. You can do all things in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I mean, it's going to be hard. I've never done it before and all this, you know. Well, don't be like that guy that was told to dip into the water 7 times. Do you remember his name?
Naaman,
yeah. He pulls his little skirts up and starts, finally dips down into the water. And, it's cold. You know, it's going to maybe be cold turkey, you know, but you just throw it down. Amen?
Amen.
You could do it. The Lord said his work is easy and light. Don't be just throw those scriptures at that demonic thing. Say, the Lord is stronger. It's Lord, my will is your will, is for me to do your will, and that's what I'm going to do. Now get thee hence. The word of God is stronger than my weakness. Amen?
Amen.
I'm weak, but the word of God is strong. And so there, Lord, I'm going to lean unto you with all my heart and soul. Just get me through this day. And Lord, when tomorrow comes, get me through that day. Amen?
Amen.
Just read the Bible and believe it and talk to these things about God. Learn to speak of God all the time to every discouraging, a depressing thing. Or if he says, oh, you can never do it because you're a stinking weakling. You come from a bad family. Or, you know, background, where'd you come from, Skid Row or something? Or you was living in some stinking hole in the wall over down south or something? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Depart from me. I'm strong in Christ Jesus, and I'm victorious. God has already provided salvation for us. It's there. Healing for us there. Power, because it's there. To stand a day at a time. Amen?
Amen?
He doesn't ask any more than that. Amen?
Amen?
Victory is there. Prosperity. The ability to stay on the straight and narrow is there. Don't let the devil tell you anything else. We're saved by believing the Lord, not the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so be ye saved. Amen?
Amen.
And receive all the power from the Lord. And don't be discouraged. You may make 1,000 mistakes during the day, but if you just keep the love of God in you, you're fine. Don't worry about it. All right? Don't start letting the devil convert you to being like him. Be just as the Lord is. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, now next.
And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Right, you got all these thoughts. I'll never make it. I'm just weak. My mama's weak. My daddy's weak. My sisters and my brothers are weak. And so I guess I got to be weak. No, I've got a lot of weak people in my family. A lot of them. But I won't be like them. I want to be like Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus saved my soul, and he's got the power. And I'm going to be like Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And you can be like Jesus, too. You should see the background I came from. Man. Even rats wouldn't live where I've lived before. All right? I've been around, you know, pretty ratty places. And I've never had this kind of power. Power that you could never dream of. It passes understanding. Because, you know, you love. You know, you can't stand to see people going to hell. And so you make sure you're with the Lord so that you can minister to them. And you make sure that if somebody's hungry or thirsty or if they're naked, that you're going to take care of them. Amen? Especially when the Lord is giving you the wherewithal to do that. I mean, we saw a bunch of hungry kids, and on this work was bringing food to them and everything. It says, give them food. Here, it's $5,000. Here's several thousand dollars. Get some clothing for them. Build houses for them. Why? Because God said so. He said to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's easy to do, especially when the Lord is giving you the money. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, next.
2 Timothy.
And you can hear I'm preaching the word, amen?
Amen.
And breaking it down to where you should be able to understand it. Unless you just don't want to go to heaven, you want to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And I don't think you're that crazy. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
2 Timothy 3:13-17. But evil men as seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned.
Yeah, the devil's going to try to deceive you, but you've got to pull those strongholds down, amen?
Amen.
All kinds are deceiving people, and they themselves are being deceived. But don't you be deceived. The word of God is settled. If it says if you just love the Lord and love the things that the Lord wants you to do, you're going to make it into heaven. And it's there. Okay? I personally guarantee it. More than that, God guarantees it. Amen?
Amen.
You can't lie. Then what?
But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures.
Yeah, you've been taught these things to love, and so that you can be perfect and get into heaven. You've been taught this, so just don't leave those, keep that, meditate on that all the time. Okay? Everything else is cheap. Don't get so cheap at all to where you sell your soul just because you're angry at somebody for no reason at all. Or don't bring up stuff that they did. Or don't lie about people. And don't usurp authority. Then what?
And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Right, through faith which is in Christ Jesus, the Word. And the Word tells you that we were made perfect in love. Amen?
Amen.
That's simple. Just got to put it together. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect.
Perfect! That the man of God can be made perfect. And the Bible tells us how. Through love. Amen?
Amen.
It's I could just find scriptures all night long if I had... If that's all the only message that the Lord wanted me to give. But you've got to get your nose in the Bible, too. You find some for me, okay? Then what?
That the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works.
Yes, so it's through all good works, which Jesus did. Just do the good works that the Lord made, and you'll be made perfect. But how can I? We can do all things. We're more than conquerors in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, is that it? One more, okay.
Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1-6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God.
That means, you know, we already know what the Bible says. We're not. He doesn't mean to leave it. He just means, well, now let's start walking in the Spirit, in the good, the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? Because the Lord is love. And outside of the Spirit of the Lord, then God is wrath. Okay? Gosh, it's amazing how people can't figure that one out. Then what?
Of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead.
Oh, and of all these things we know. All these things we know. Then what?
And of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For if it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance.
If they should fall away from love. If they fall away from perfection. The Bible says in the last days that the love of many would wax cold. Amen?
Yes.
So many people are falling away from love, and therefore they're falling away from perfection, and therefore they cannot enter the kingdom of God. I mean, say, well, we want to be hip. We want to be hip it. We want to, you know, just to be like all the unsaved people out there, wear our baseball caps on our side or backwards like that. If Jesus never wore his baseball cap backwards or on the side, I'm sure he never wore a baseball cap. Amen?
Amen.
Take the stinking thing off and let's start being more proud and happy about being like Jesus than some rap artist, okay, some person that needs to be saved. He needs to see people that are more zealous to allow the Lord to show his image and likeness through them than that kind of image and likeness, you know. Oh, man, we funky, you know, man, that's what we are, you know, we're funky. Well, I want to be perfect. You want to be funky, I want to be perfect. Amen?
Yeah.
That's who we is over here, okay? Then what?
Seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame.
We mustn't say things like that. Yes, we must. Because those people are not cool in the eyes of God. And we just got to tell them, amen?
Yeah.
What was the last thing you said? I was busy talking.
Sorry. Well, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance.
If you fall away from what? Perfection. Amen?
Amen.
Who's perfect? Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You have to be like him. He says one thing for sure, when we're in heaven, we don't know exactly what we're going to be, but we know we're going to be like him. And that's talking about those of us that are walking in love, so that we are perfect. But if you don't walk in the Lord and you just think going to church on Sunday or Saturday or Friday, and then you Wednesday, and you just do your own thing the rest of the week or at all, that you're going to get in, I've got news for you. It's good news, but if you don't want to do it, then it's bad news to you. There'll be a scowl all over your face. But the Lord wants us to know that we're going to heaven, and he wants those of you that won't walk in perfection to know that you're not going to be in heaven, you're going to be in hell. And so, you know, even for your, it's just a horrible place of all the judgment of God is there. It's the wrath of God is there. It's like fire and no food, no water, nothing but work. So, you know, you really ought to become perfect, and you can be. By being as the Lord, by the power of him living in and through you. All right, is there more?
Just the rest of that verse. Seeing okay, they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame.
Right, so if you refuse the Lord, there's only two things you can do with the gospel when you hear it. You're either going to accept it or you're going to refuse it. If you say, well, I want to wait a while, you're refusing it. The Lord says, now is the acceptable time of salvation. Now is the time for you to repent. And you may be sitting in a church and you've never walked in perfection yet. You're not saved. You're not perfect. You're not striving for perfection either. You're not doing the will of the Lord. And so therefore be ye saved. Ask Christ to come into you and then start living the life in the Spirit. Okay, now let's go to what this was originally started to be was Joshua, Father, pour out your, continue pouring out your Spirit on this chapter in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. Go ahead.
Joshua chapter 14. The west side of the Jordan where the land was divided. King James Version, verse 1. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel, distributed for inheritance to them. Verse 2. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. Verse 3. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and an half tribe on the other side Jordan. But unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. Verse 4. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. Verse 5. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God.
And we have to have confidence in the Lord. We have to have faith to believe that He will keep us perfect, that we can walk perfectly in Him every day. And this man did, and all the rest of them didn't. And so we learn through their mistakes. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, there are witnesses. Then what else?
Verse 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Translation, verse 1 through 10. The west side of the Jordan, where the land was divided. Verse 1. The remaining tribes of Israel inherited land in Canaan, as allotted by Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the tribal leaders. Verse 2. These 9.5 tribes received their inheritance by means of sacred lots, in accordance with the Lord's command through Moses. Verse 3. Moses had already given an inheritance of land to the 2.5 tribes on the east side of the Jordan River. Verse 4. The tribe of Joseph had become two separate tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and the Levites were given no land at all, only towns to live in and the surrounding pasture lands for their flocks and herds. Verse 5. So the distribution of the land was in strict accordance with the Lord's instructions to Moses. Land requested by Caleb. Verse 6. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, quote, Remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea. Verse 7. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave from my heart a good report. Verse 8. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people and discouraged them from entering the promised land. For my part, I followed the Lord my God completely. Verse 9. So that day Moses promised me, quote, The land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your special possession and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Unquote.
Wholeheartedly. Yeah, because he was the only, you know, there are only two people able to get in there from the old flock. And that was Caleb and Joshua. Amen?
Amen.
That's how you're the only way. That's how major a situation that is to just follow the Lord with your whole heart. That way you're made perfect. Okay? Then what?
Verse 10.
According to God, Joshua and Caleb were perfect. Job was perfect because he did a lot of things, maybe. He sure made a lot of mistakes, I'm sure, just like the rest of us. But he was perfect in love. He was made perfect because he did everything that the Lord told him to do. And then what?
Verse 10.
The same thing with Joseph. You know, a woman tried to rape him, and he would not go for it. And even if it meant going to prison, he gladly took going to prison rather than having anything to do with that woman, okay? Married woman. And what else?
Verse 10. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised, for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today I am 85 years old. King James Version, verse 11. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Verse 13. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Verse 14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Verse 15. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Translation, verse 11 through 15. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. Verse 12. So I'm asking you to give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts we found the Anakites living there in great walled cities. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. Unquote. Verse 13. So Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave Hebron to him as an inheritance. Verse 14. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Verse 15. Previously, Heshbon had been called Kiriath Arba. It had been named after Arba, a great hill of the Anakites, and the land had rest from war.
Okay, that was chapter 14 and the 15 verses, and a lot of counsel in regarding to perfection and how to be perfect in love. And now we've got some commentary on Joshua chapter 14.
14 verse 1 through 5. This is an account of how the land west of the Jordan River was divided among the remaining 9.5 tribes. The 12 tribes of Israel were descended from the 12 sons of Jacob. Levi did not receive a portion, leaving 11. But Joseph's descendants were divided into two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, again bringing the number of tribes to land to 12. 14 verse 1. The dividing of the land was to be executed before God and presided over by Joshua Eleazar, the spiritual leader in matters of this nature, and a representative from each tribe. Numbers chapter 34 verse 16 through 18. 14 verse 2. Casting lots was a respected means of determining God's will. It could have been by drawing straws or throwing small stones. However, it was done. The people honored the outcome as God's decision. 14 verse 6 through 12.
Yeah, but we don't do it that way today. We just pray to the Holy Spirit and He teaches us all things. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not about to start playing MIGs or something like that. Or laggies. Okay, what else?
At the age of 85, Caleb asked for the city promised him by God 45 years earlier.
Deuteronomy 1:36. 14 verse 13. Hebron was located 19 miles southwest of Jerusalem. For a period in their lives, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived here. Genesis 35 verse 27. No fewer than 6 Old Testament saints were buried here, and it was here that Abraham established an altar following his separation from Lot. 14 verse 1 through 5. The leaders of Israel did not forget God's command given by Moses. They were obedient to it, which resulted in a total and proper apportionment of the promised land. As it was for Levites who settled on the east side of the Jordan, so it was for those Levites who served God in the promised land. The Levites received no specific territory for an inheritance. God himself was their inheritance. God, however, did not leave them homeless to roam the countryside, but he gave them cities in which to live and pasture lands to manage. This is a great reminder to us. When we focus on what we have or don't have, we often forget that our greatest inheritance is God himself. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is everything. He is the kingdom of heaven. 14 verse 6 through 15. Advanced age did not deter Caleb from seeking the inheritance promised to him by God as a reward for his faith when he and Joshua had served under Moses as scouts in the promised land. See Numbers 14 verse 24. Age alone does not make a person feel or act old. In fact, Caleb willingly sought to enter into battle against some of the more powerful armies that inhabited the land. Because he trusted God fully, Caleb succeeded in securing his promised inheritance. We need to realize that in our own life, if God wants to grant us victory over any problem, if we want it bad enough, we keep his commandments, and we will have that victory because it's already secured for us in God's promises to us.
All right, praise the Lord. That was chapter 14 of Joshua, and a lot of commentary on how to acquire perfection in the Lord by love. And so it would do you well to begin doing this if you've never known these things before, that you start exercising them both day and night so you could stand one day at a time. That's all the Lord requires, just one day at a time. Just do it. Do it till you go to sleep tonight. And when you wake up, remember that when you first wake up, start sending prayers up to the Lord. And until chapter 15 of Joshua, this is Tony Alamo. God bless you and praise the Lord.